It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, September 10th. I'm Patricia Naft. Efforts to save Amtrak's Southwest Chief long-distance passenger train service that runs through southern Colorado got a financial boost Tuesday. KRCC's Andrea Chalfin reports on a grant from the Federal Department of Transportation that will help fix some of the regional track that's in most need of repair.
The $12.5 million grant will go toward repairing the worst of the worst in a section of track in Kansas and Colorado. As part of the application, Amtrak said the company would continue serving that section for the next 20 years, effectively preserving stops in Lamar, La Junta, and Trinidad. Pueblo County Commissioner Sal Pace chairs the state's Southwest Chief Commission, which is tasked in part with looking at ways to preserve the long-distance passenger route. Pace calls this a game changer.
This does not get Colorado or southern Colorado off the hook for raising money, because there's still a lot more rail that needs to be done, but it does give us a huge sigh of relief.
Matching funds put up by the applicants, including 11 entities in Colorado, mean the grant totals nearly $22 million. An Amtrak spokesman says conversations with Colorado and New Mexico will continue, but the company is optimistic. For KRCC News, I'm Andrea Chalfin in Colorado Springs.
State lawmakers are still grappling with new rules to crack down on medical marijuana patients and caregivers with permission to have additional plants. A state marijuana revenues committee met on Monday but didn't vote on any proposals. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Medical marijuana is taxed at a much lower rate than recreational pot and has fewer regulations. And lawmakers want to make sure no one's abusing the system. Some caregivers and patients have dozens of plants above the legal six-plant limit allowed by Amendment 20. One idea would create a system to help law enforcement track how many plants a medical marijuana caregiver or patient is licensed to cultivate. Karen McGowan is with the Colorado Department of Public Health and the Environment, which administers the database. The health department also gives waivers to allow patients and caregivers to grow additional plants.
We have some patients who have significant amounts more, 100 plants, 80 plants, 50 plants. Caregivers, you hear them saying, we need additional plant counts to make oils or tinctures. Depending on who you talk to, some people can do it in this number of plants, and other people say, no, it takes a lot more.
McGowan says there's not good data on which plants are best for which conditions, but she notes that the health department is not a law enforcement agency.
I mean, we certainly don't typically go into people's homes to go verify what folks are doing or not doing.
McGowan says the constitutional amendment bans the health department from sharing any confidential patient information from the database. The state is also considering stricter requirements for caregivers and patients in order to get approval for additional plants, and penalties for failing to properly register with the state. The legislature's Marijuana Revenues Committee will vote on possible bills later this month. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The Environmental Protection Agency just awarded grants to two different sites to research drinking water systems. $8 million will go to developing two centers to research small capacity systems, systems that make up a majority of the U.S. water treatment. One of those centers will be with University of Colorado Boulder's design of risk-reducing, innovative, implementable small system knowledge, or simply DRISC. The EPA says that 97% of the nation's roughly 160,000 public water systems serve fewer than 10,000 people each. These drinking water systems face many obstacles, including limited resources, aging infrastructure, and complying with a variety of regulations. The goal of having these two centers is to help strengthen the technical, managerial, and financial capacities of drinking water providers throughout the country. Denver's Department of Safety has fired two sheriff's deputies for inappropriate use of force against inmates. CPR's Pat Mack has more on the latest action by the city to try to address a rash of allegations against the sheriff's department.
Deputy Edward Keller was fired for his assault on inmate Jamal Hunter in 2011. The city council recently approved a $3.2 million settlement of Hunter's abuse allegations. That's the largest pre-trial settlement in the city's history. It contributed to the resignation of Sheriff Gary Wilson last month. In a separate incident, Deputy Thomas Ford was terminated for striking an inmate who the department says did not pose a threat. Executive Director of Safety Stephanie O'Malley says deputies who endanger inmates have no place in the sheriff's department. The deputies have the right to appeal. I'm Pat Mack, Colorado Public Radio News.
A Colorado-fired power plant just over the border in Utah has a coal-fired power plant just over the border in Utah has been under consideration for mandatory environmental upgrades. The EPA was scheduled to issue its decision by August 29th under agreement with Wild Earth Guardians. This is all stemming from that group's suit against the agency for its failure to take action within an 18-month timeline required by law. The Daily Sentinel reports that the EPA has arranged to extend their decision by 2 months. The Deseret Power Electric Cooperative's Bonanza Power Plant is currently supplied by only one mine, a Colorado mine near Rangeley. The City of Montrose and Montrose County are teaming up to remove some blighted buildings in town. 5 homes in the City of Montrose will be demolished and replaced by a parking lot. The homes were determined to be a hazard to the community. To avoid dueling ballots over oil and gas this November, Governor Hickenlooper got both sides to back down and agree to a diverse panel of people to try to find a solution to the issue. He says he's optimistic his newly formed Oil and Gas Commission will reach a compromise over the controversial issues around fracking. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The 19-member commission was born out of a last-minute deal to avoid a costly fight at the ballot box this fall over competing fracking measures.
There was the communal sigh of relief when we negotiated this commission.
More than 300 people submitted applications to serve on the commission, which is made up of members from the energy industry, local government officials, representatives of farmers and ranchers, and home builders.
This is one of the most important issues I've ever worked on. You know, in the 12 years I've been in public service, it is very contentious.
Recommendations would need a 2/3 vote from the commission. Then it would be up to state lawmakers to act. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Up next, Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.